Vaishnavamsa. Sri Rupa Sagatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Sam Sadivam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamcha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasachadeshatarine Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasachadeshatarine Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariprajakacharya Astotra Sutta Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya. ISKCON Samstapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Pariprajak Acharya Asto Trasata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishna Vrinda Ki Jaya. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Vo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. As we were chanting around Tulsi Devi, at the end I looked at the picture of Srila Prabhupada on the wall, which was painted from a photograph taken of him around 1966. And I was thinking, sort of in the same vein as Shyamala Sakhi was thinking about the Panchatattva, that they came to give us the holy name. And I was also thinking of Srila Prabhupada, that he also came to the Western world to give us the holy name. And he did so on the order of his spiritual master. And at the same time, he had faith in the holy name, that if people like us would just chant the holy name, everything else would follow. Srila Prabhupada had a god brother named Niskinchana Krishna Das Babaji, whom I heard Srila Prabhupada said was a Paramahansa. And Niskinchana Krishna Das Babaji approached another god brother of Srila Prabhupada's named Ban Maharaj. Ban Maharaj had been sent by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to England and Europe, but he didn't really have much effect, and then he came back to India. So Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj approached Ban Maharaj and said that you went to the West, and Swami Maharaj, that's how they referred to Srila Prabhupada, because they also referred to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as Srila Prabhupada. So. And Swami Maharaj went to the West. You presented the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Swami Maharaj presented the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And you introduced the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and Swami Maharaj introduced the Maha Mantra. But Swami Maharaj was completely successful, and you hardly achieved anything. But what is the reason? So, I don't know if Ban Maharaj ventured an answer, but Krishna Das Babaji answered, and he said, the reason is that Swami Maharaj had full faith in the holy name of Krishna, and you didn't. So this is a very powerful statement. It's a very significant point. It's not a light point. Prabhupada had full faith in the holy name. And with that conviction, he came to the West and brought the holy name and encouraged us to chant. Earlier, when Srila Prabhupada had not yet gone to the West, another one of his god brothers, Al Bihari Kapoor, approached him. They met in Mathura. And in Grihastha Ashram, Srila Prabhupada had been a chemist or a pharmacist. So Dr. Kapoor asked him that you are a chemist or a pharmacist. You know so many formulas. Do you know the formula for developing love of God? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I do. So Dr. Kapoor said, well, can you tell me what it is? And he said, yes. Trinadapi sunichena tararapi sahishnuna amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. So Srila Prabhupada's faith in the holy name was there from the beginning. It formed the basis of his journey to the West and his service to his spiritual master and to all of us. At Srila Prabhupada's sannyas ceremony in Mathura, you know, at a certain stage of the ceremony, the priest was doing the fire sacrifice and chanting mantras. And Krishnadas Babaji, he was chanting the holy name. He really relished the holy name. One time, His Holiness Bibi Govindaswamy took me to meet him on one Ekadasi. At night, he was just sitting like in the courtyard of some ashram. It was very dark. Maybe there was like a bare light bulb in the corner. And he was just chanting japa and relishing. It was like he was, literally tasting, savoring, just really drinking the nectar of the holy name. So during Srila Prabhupada's sannyas initiation ceremony, he was chanting japa. And the priest motioned to him like, keep quiet, I'm saying the mantras, this is very important. And then the priest went back to reciting the mantras, swaha, leading the devotees and offering the grains. And Prabhupada motioned to Krishnadas Babaji keep chanting, don't pay attention to him. So he had that deep faith. Soon after I joined the devotees in the Boston Temple, the devotees had a sort of financial crisis, you could say. As I mentioned, when I first joined, we didn't really do Harinam Sankirtan or distribute books. We just basically had Monday, Wednesday, and evening programs in the temple and the Sunday feast. So, and Prabhupada had said that if the devotees need to, they can get jobs. And at the time, Satsvarupa Das was the temple president. He worked for the welfare department, and his check from the welfare department was the only income that the temple had. But as few more devotees were joining, and the art department was there, it wasn't enough. And the devotees were very surrendered. They had a meeting, and one devotee, Petit Pavan, said he had worked in the post office before he joined, so he could get a job at the post office. And another devotee said that he knew the grocer down the street and he might be able to get a job in the grocery store, like that. And then this one devotee named Nanda Kishore, he raised his hand. He's a very humble devotee. They all were, actually. Well, most of them. Hare Krishna. Don't want to commit any of it. It's just different natures. They're all wonderful devotees. So, he recalled a letter, and all of Srila Prabhupada's letters were taken as important documents and messages for everyone. Whenever a letter came, all the devotees would gather around, and whoever it was addressed to would open it and read it, and everyone would listen. So in one letter, Srila Prabhupada had said that if you just go on street Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, all of your problems will be solved spiritually and materially. So Nanda Kumar quoted that statement And everyone thought, yes, that's what we should do. So the next day, we went out on the streets, we chanted, and I don't think we even had BTGs to distribute then. Maybe we had a few, but mainly we just asked people for donations. So we came back, we counted up the Lakshmi. There was $7. It looked promising. In those days, $7 was something. So we thought we'll try it the next day. Went out the next day, did the same thing, maybe even more enthusiasm and conviction. Came back and counted it up. $12. I thought, oh, this is getting good. I mean, what Prabhupada said is true. And we went out third day, came back and counted it up. There were $19. So then there was no doubt what Prabhupada said was true. And then we would go out every day. So that was an interesting statement. If you chant Hare Krishna, all of your problems will be solved materially and spiritually. Prabhupada had that faith. Then, eventually we moved from the small storefront at 95 Glenville Avenue to a big mansion. I mean, 40 North Beacon Street. And it was the first property that ISKCON owned. The devotees purchased. And Srila Prabhupada was very enthusiastic, and he said that the press should move from New York to Boston. And so the devotees began to print Prabhupada's books. And one of the first books was Easy Journey to Other Planets. And Srila Prabhupada, he directed every aspect, not of the publication, but of the presentation of the books. He gave the titles, and he also, in this case at least, said what he wanted on the cover. And what he wanted was, and one part of the cover was like the material universe, like outer space with different stars and planets. And then the other section was the spiritual sky with, I guess, some Vaikuntha planets, but mainly Goloka Vrindavan with the lotus and Radha and Krishna. And then he wanted a devotee flying through outer space from the material universe into the spiritual sky, of course, Doti, Kurta, Sika, and is Japamala. And that was the cover of the book. That by chanting Japa, we can travel beyond the material universe to the spiritual sky, to Goloka Vrindavan. And that's like our ticket back to Godhead. And later, when the devotees showed him the cover, Prabhupada was pleased. And he said, yes, by the beads. So it's very powerful. Then we went to India, and that was a little surprising. We began doing Harinam, just like we were doing in the West, but eventually Srila Prabhupada said we should not do so much, because in India a lot of beggars go on the street and chant, and he didn't want people to think we were beggars. And then he introduced the Life Membership Program, which he said was really designed to distribute his books. But we did have big Pandal programs, which Prabhupada said we should call Hare Krishna festivals. The first was in Bombay, and the second was in Calcutta. And Calcutta at the time was under the sway of communists and a group called Naxalites, who were, they were like communist youth. But they were, their idea was to like terrorize rich people. They would kidnap the sons of rich families. Sometimes they would just shoot rich people dead in the street. It was really, really horrible situation. Lots, at that time, a lot of the richer people actually left Calcutta and moved to Delhi and other places. So anyway, in this climate, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to organize a big pandal. And we did it. Prabhupada sent Tumal Krishna Goswami and me from Bombay. And before the pandal began, a couple of days before, he received a letter, fly or die. It's like, really? I mean, it sounds sort of overdramatic, but I mean, they cut the letters out of the newspaper so no one could trace the typewriter, they pasted it and sent it. And then the day before the pandal, there was a press conference, and the mood of many of the reporters was very challenging, you know, very challenging. And one of them challenged, what is this pandal program going to accomplish? You could spend the money to help poor people. What is the Pandal program going to accomplish? And Srila Prabhupada replied, what will it accomplish? It will accomplish hearing. People will get a chance to hear. And then he said, the whole big arrangement has come from hearing. I went to the West and I spoke, and some young people heard me, and because they heard me, now they have come, and all of this is manifest. So Prabhupada, he persisted. And then the first night of the pandal, it was like that. It was sort of the traditional system, that most of the grounds were covered with dhatis, like Indian carpets. And then on one side or both sides there would be chairs for special guests. In our case, we invited some VIPs and then life members. And anyone who paid, I think, 1 rupee could also sit on a chair. So a group of Naxalites came, and they made a big commotion that why some people get to sit on chairs and other people have to sit on the ground. Like, everyone should sit on the ground. And I think they were just looking for an issue to pick a fight. And so Prabhupada was on the stage with the disciples, and they were just like shouting and hollering, deliberately making a disturbance. And then they started to take the folding chairs that we had there, and like clap them together to make a big disturbance. It was really tense, because those people could do anything, you know, they were violent. And we didn't want to provoke them more, but at the same time, they, you know, Prabhupada couldn't speak because they were making so much noise. So we're looking to Prabhupada, what is he going to do? And suddenly, he just, you know, bent forward towards the microphone and began singing. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. And he just began to sing the Govinda prayers. And somehow the whole disturbance subsided. The young men, they put down the chairs and quietly left. So it was quite miraculous. Then, after the Calcutta Pandal was the Delhi Pandal, and when we were in Delhi, Srila Prabhupada got an invitation to go to Madras, but he was planning to go to Vrindavan from Delhi. The first time he was going to go with the devotees to Vrindavan. But he wanted someone to go to Madras. And no one wanted to go. Everyone wanted to go with Prabhupada to Vrindavan. But I had that idea that the secret of success in Krishna consciousness was to follow the order of the Guru and please the Guru. So I volunteered, and so I went to Madras. I kept asking for help, but it was hard to get devotees. But anyway, for a lot of the time I was alone there. And while I was there, A song came out, you know, in Prabhupada's purports. Sometimes he mentions cinema songs, like the most popular songs. And the refrain of the song was, I forget all the words, but it was dum mara dum na 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 na. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So we didn't have a center in Madras. I was just staying with different people. And so I kept hearing the song, and I asked my host, what is the meaning of the song? And I don't know if he misunderstood it or if he was just being polite. But he said, what he said at the time was, with every breath that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, which sounded very nice. So for a while we were in that illusion that that's what the song meant. But eventually we found out that what it really meant was, with every puff that I take, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Anyway, from Madras, we went to Calcutta, and the movie was playing. And we didn't really know what it was. But, you know, from the old days in America, like whenever Hair would show, like devotees would do Hare Nam in front of the theater and distribute books. So we thought, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, you know, it'd be a great opportunity. So we did it. We were having Harinam and distributing books outside the theater. And I thought, well, let me steal a peek. Let me see what is this movie. So I went inside just as it was about to begin. It's like that. We get the one crowd coming out and then the other crowd going in. It's very impressive, you know, big screen, and it begins with shots of the ocean, waves of the ocean, and the narrator says, like in a very deep voice, that for centuries India's spiritual culture remained within the shores of India, but one man, and then it showed a picture of Srila Prabhupada, one man took India's spiritual culture across the ocean, and then it showed the London Rath Yatra, like so dramatic, the big screen, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. And then it showed a bunch of hippies smoking ganja or hashish and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and they were like really dressed like hippies, not, and boys and girls mixing, and it was like really bad. It was really bad, and I think the theme of the movie was that Prabhupada was degrading the Indian culture by giving it to hippies who were just misusing it and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and smoking dope and having free sex and everything else. So that was sort of a blow. And Srila Prabhupada actually said the government was behind it, because they were afraid that this movement would become too popular. They wanted to turn people away from it. They also started rumors that we're CIA. It was the same type of thing. They knew we weren't CIA, but they just wanted to spread rumors about us because they didn't want people to take to Krishna consciousness. They thought that spiritual life was going to keep the people down. Well, actually, they wanted to keep the people down. Maybe they were afraid spiritual life would... Anyway. And, you know, some people said we should file a suit. The star of the movie was Devanand. Like the film was completely identified with Devanand. He was like a really big star then. And Prabhupada, so this man came up and was like, you know, you know about Devanand? Prabhupada said, yes, I urinate in his face. but but now we're coming to the point. Srila Prabhupada's faith in the holy name. Srila Prabhupada said, in the long run, this will actually help us, because eventually people will forget the Dhammaradham and they'll just remember the Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And it actually came true. From Calcutta, I went to Bombay, and then I was based in Bombay. And especially like the street urchins, there are like so many street urchins in Bombay, they beggars, and some they sell magazines at street corners. And whenever they would see us, they would just gather around and like go like this, like making the like a pipe. Dhammaradam, dhammaradam. They wouldn't even get to the Hare Krishna, Hare Ram most of the time. It was just dhammaradam. It was like a plague. Like wherever we went, these little kids would gather around us and taunt us. Dhammaradam. So it went on like that. It was difficult. Whew. And then after, I don't know, maybe a year. It was a pretty popular song. I mean, it went on and on and on. Yeah. Yeah. But after a year or 18 months, it sort of shifted. It was like sort of equal, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and the Dhammara Dham. And eventually, just as Prabhupada predicted, the Dhammara Dham dropped out. And it was a mundane sound vibration. And it had no real attraction. But the Hare Krishna, Hare Ram was transcendental, so it was ever fresh. And the Dhammara Dham part completely dropped out, and when people would see us, they would say, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Mm-hmm. So that came to pass. Now, of course, then we had the Juhu Project, that's the whole history. But the very first visit that Prabhupada made to the Juhu land, which he named Hare Krishna land. Later he said once he was in his room and he was hearing the kirtan from the little temple, and he said, you know, this is Hare Krishna land, we should always hear the sounds of Hare Krishna. But anyway, at the airport, when he was leaving after his first visit, there's like a got the VIP lounge for him. So it was just us and Prabhupada and Miss Nair, actually. And it was an uproarious kirtan, really ecstatic chanting and dancing. And Prabhupada said, you know, if you go on having kirtans like this, our mission will be successful. Then later, one evening, Srila Prabhupada was on one of the terraces of the old buildings. There were some tenement buildings that came with the land. And one devotee named Haridas was fanning him. Haridas is still there, Bengali devotee. His mother was Didima. She was one of the cooks in Mayapur. And so at 7 o'clock, Prabhupada looked at his watch and he said to Haridas, do you hear the sounds of kirtan coming from the temple? And Haridas strained to hear, but he couldn't hear. He said, no, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, you don't hear the sounds of kirtan coming from the temple? He said, no. Prabhupada said, well, that is the point. There is no kirtan. There is no kirtan in the temple, and there should be. And then he said to Haridas, do you know why we were successful and Mr. Nair wasn't? Mr. Nair was very well established in Bombay. We were completely new. He was very wealthy, and we had no money. No regular income, and just barely got enough to survive. And he was very influential. He owned the Free Press Journal, which was one of three English daily newspapers in Bombay. We had no influence. And he knew many important people. He had been the sheriff of Bombay, and we hardly knew anyone. But we were successful, and he was not. Why? And then Srila Prabhupada gave the answer, that we were acting to please Krishna, and he was acting for his own personal desire. And because we pleased Krishna, by Krishna's mercy, we were successful. So, Prabhupada asked, where are the devotees? Where are all the devotees? And Haridas ventured that, they were out collecting. They hadn't come back yet. And Prabhupada said that was not my idea, that the devotees should just work day and night to collect. But they should come back, they should leave the city at 5 o'clock and come back and chant and dance in front of the deities. And by pleasing the deities, by the mercy of the deities, by the mercy of Krishna, we'll be successful, not by our own endeavor or over-endeavor. And he said if they just work like that and don't come back and chant, they'll become like commies. So, Prabhupada really had that faith in Krishna, in the holy name, and that if we chant to please Krishna, Krishna will be pleased and will be successful. Then the last incident that I wish to relate came towards the end, 1977. Srila Prabhupada was already quite ill. And Srila Prabhupada had a very staunch devotee named P.L. Sethi. He was actually, his Punjabi, he was actually from a Sikh family, but he was a great devotee. He was like what Hanuman was to Ram, that's what he was to Prabhupada. He was just like so staunch, had so much faith. So from before he met Prabhupada, he was associated with a group called the Radha Madhav Satsang Mandali. Their guru is in Vrindavan, and they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They're all householders, and I think every week they would have. Or at least every month, they would have a 12-hour Akhanda Kirtan, continuous Kirtan, from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. And then they would have about 2 hours of Braj songs. So Mr. Sethi had the idea, instead of having it in one of the devotees' houses, as they would, to have it at the temple. So we arranged it, and the old temple, it was like a sort of like a shed. I mean, it was okay. And then, meanwhile, right beside it, the new complex had come up, and on the top floor of the tower near the temple, old temple, was Prabhupada's quarters. But the building wasn't finished, the lift wasn't working. Prabhupada was very ill, but he was, I guess, lying down or maybe reclining and listening. But all these devotees really wanted to see him, but they couldn't come up, there was, they said they would have had to walk up, but it would have been too much for Prabhupada. So at one stage they were like so eager that they came out of the temple and were just doing kirtan like beneath the balcony of Prabhupada's quarters. And eventually, I guess Mr. Sethi went up there and he like helped Prabhupada walk to the balcony. Like Prabhupada glanced down, they were just in ecstasy, and then he stayed for a little while, then he went back. Then at the end they had the songs, and the sort of like the culmination of it was one lady would sing, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. That one, Jai Krishna. Mr. Sethi said when Prabhupada was listening to that, like tears were coming down his cheeks. Anyway, the next day, I went up to see Srila Prabhupada, and he said that was wonderful, and we should invite the whole group to stay at Hare Krishna land, and we'll tell them that we'll maintain them. They don't have to work. All they have to do is continuous kirtan. So I wasn't sure what to do about that. I heard it. But I think Prabhupada knew that that might take some time. Then he said, you know, at least our devotees, they should do, you know, the 12-hour kirtan every day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, we had been taught by Prabhupada that we have to serve and spread the mission. And especially in Juhu, we were very busy building the temple and getting it ready to open. I didn't see how we could, how all the devotees could just spend 12 hours a day in the temple chanting. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, we have so much service to do. You know, how will we be able to do all the service? And then Prabhupada said, all right, then one day a week on Sunday. And when Prabhupada said that, I said, yes, yes, yes. Because I felt like, oh, that's like we're off the hook. And later, Tamal Krishna Goswami said, I couldn't think like that, but he probably knew what he was talking about. He said that Prabhupada was doing transcendental bargaining. Like, if he would have said, like, 12 hours every Sunday, he might have said, oh, that's too much. You know, maybe 4 hours. But because he began, like, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, then when he finally said, 12 hours a day, one day a week, oh, yeah, oh. What a relief. Yeah, we can do that. But that those kirtans, I mean, really, it was just like what Prabhupada said, that, you know, all problems will be solved materially and spiritually. Because I was the temple president, and there were a lot of problems. You know, we had to build the temple and deal with the authorities and deal with the devotees, and then just India and all the disease. And so devotees would come to me, and, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe I would deal with the problems. By Thursday, we were like getting close to the 12-hour Harinam, and I knew it happened every time without fail. All the problems got solved. Either they solved themselves, or the devotees realized there wasn't actually a problem after all, or maybe we got like some inspiration, some insight how to deal with it. So by Thursday, I mean, I wouldn't tell them directly. I would say, all right, well, just give me a few days to think about it. But I knew, let Sunday come, let us do the 12-hour kirtan, it'll be solved. And it happened every time. It was really wonderful. So it's sort of back to that same point that that by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna's pleased, and by Krishna's mercy we're successful even in terms of preaching. So now this is really sort of in the same mood of Prabhupada, to chant the whole, like especially tomorrow, Mona Vrat, it's like that 12-hour continuous kirtan. So, just give ourselves to that process. That mood of pleasing Krishna by our chanting. Actually, whatever we do should be in the mood of pleasing Guru and Krishna. Quite often, in the beginning, I would think, like, Prabhupada is hearing my chanting, so I should chant, so he'll be pleased. And you mentioned the Radha Damodar party. Vishnu Jan Maharaj, he had a large photo of Srila Prabhupada's ear blown up. And he would chant in front of that picture of Srila Prabhupada's ear, with that idea that Prabhupada is hearing his japa, and he's chanting to please Srila Prabhupada. So it's all together service to Guru, service to the holy name, chanting the holy name and pleasing Krishna, chanting the holy name and pleasing Srila Prabhupada, and being successful materially and spiritually. Hare Krishna.